Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome back to Snell Nation once again. Let's talk about the insurrection. Let's just jump right into it. Now, what inspired this? Now, this has been another one of those taboo things, you know, that we can't really discuss in great detail. We can't discuss certain things, you know, about the about COVID or about vaccines, about vaccine passports and all these ridiculous proposals that are out there. You know, we can't talk about the billions and billions of dollars that these pharmaceutical companies are raking in from all this and how it's such a huge windfall. We can't talk about any of the adverse reactions to said shots and the deaths as a result. We can't talk about that. We can't talk about what happened in the 2020 election in great detail. We can't talk about voter fraud. We can't talk about dead people voting, that kind of stuff. And it also seems now with this insurrection, quote unquote, that happened on January the 6th, this year, 2021, we can't ask a lot of obvious questions. Apparently, we also can't trust our eyes. And more videos have been popping up since December, showing a lot of questionable actions by the Capitol Hill police, individuals dressed as Antifa, breaking in windows and that sort of thing. And there was a video I watched today. It was pretty short. It was a culmination of several angles, and you see these same figures doing like the hardcore damage, you know, breaking windows, breaking inside, trying to get people to go inside, inside the Capitol building. And you see footage of people, Trump supporters, trying to stop these individuals, yelling at them, screaming at them, screaming at the Capitol Hill police and security that was standing in outer perimeter areas, not doing anything. I mean, literally, one video which I shared today, there were several that were just standing together, just talking, just hanging out. And there are people, Trump supporters, that are yelling at these cops, do something, stop them, you know, do your effing job, blah, blah, you know. And they just were standing there and they did not care, did not listen, didn't stop it, nothing. But that's another angle that we can't really go into. We can't talk about the requests for additional security, you know, questions that, you know, then President Trump raised about what could happen on January the 6th and how more security was needed. The requests that were submitted that were denied, and, you know, other issues that were brought up that were flat out ignored by the Speaker of the House. You know, we can't talk about that. But what we can talk about is how we can talk about white supremacy. We can talk about, you know, how our last POTUS was, it's his fault that all this stuff happened, and, you know, and he should be held accountable. And, you know, we need a commission. We need an insurrection commission, you know, because, you know, we have money for that. Just like we had money for the impeachment proceedings and, you know, a couple $1 million that cost the taxpayers. But yeah, I mean, that's the angle. That's approved. That's the approved, within that approved spectrum of conversation, the approved spectrum of thoughts and opinions, you know, those things are okay. But, you know, the obvious questions, they seem to either elude us, or when we bring these things up, we're shot down immediately. And I was looking at an article called 9 Questions for the Capitol Insurrection Commission. And this was on Lawfare. And it's an opinion piece primarily. And it just has a couple of key questions. And I just was looking through it, and it just really cracked me up. Because the first question is, who are the attackers? You know, well, we have the video. We can see who the attackers, you know, who they were. We also have a lot of footage of citizens just wandering through, giving themselves this self-guided tour of the Capitol building, just wandering around with their faces exposed, people taking selfies with some of the security that was there, people praying in some of the different chambers, praying together about trying to stop the totalitarian oligarchy that we're sitting in, you know, and stopping the big corporations and that sort of thing. Of course, you're not going to see that on mainstream media, a bunch of people praying in the Capitol building, praying that our government is returned back to the citizens that created it and funded it. But that's that. The second question, which parts of the warning system failed? Well, if you just look at the footage, you can see a lot of different things failed to the point that one would wonder, hey, is it intentional? When you have video footage showing Capitol Hill police officers moving barriers out of the way, allowing more and more people to crowd the front section of the Capitol building, you know, allowing people to just sort of linger and hang around. Some people, you know, they made sure they allowed them to get close. You had a handful of people there that had that were clearly they were racist. They were very, very racist or anti-Semitic. They even had shirts on with all kinds of crazy slogans. They made sure that, you know, hey, let's get them in the shot. You know, let's get some pictures of them, you know, for the mainstream media. They can do their thing. And don't show any of the Hispanics, Asians, or Blacks that are also there. Don't show any of them. You know, just focus on just a concentration of white people, and they have to look a certain way. You know, and if they're wearing any, like if they're holding a Confederate flag, excellent. You know, it's the same tactic that was used during all the lockdown protests that started. This was all the way back in April of last year, where you had these protests, peaceful protest, actually like really peaceful protests, not the mostly peaceful, mostly fiery, yada, yada, yada that CNN was pushing all through summer, fall last year. But these were legitimately just citizens exercising their right to peacefully assemble. And it was another situation where it was, you know, don't show any of the Blacks or Asians or Hispanics, only whites. And if there's a Confederate flag, that's all we're going to run. You know, it's the same angle. So, you know, I don't know if you could even, I mean, that question is even a serious question. Which parts of the warning system failed? Well, I mean, it feels pretty intentional. I mean, the fact that you have these people dressed in all black that were smashing windows in clear view of the, you know, hundreds and hundreds and thousands on one shot that are yelling at these people to stop. And they still managed to break in, that sort of thing. So, yeah. Question three. Why were the pieces not put together? Why were the pieces not put together? Okay, so that statement is speaking to the FBI field office that received threats and all that stuff, actually leading all the way up to and through the inauguration. All threats of violence, threats of some sort of radical attack, that sort of thing. And also considering that our own president at that time even stated, Hey guys, I think this thing is going to be pretty big. You might want to have some people there just to make sure order is maintained. And, you know, those requests were ignored, downplayed, or just outright denied. Our Speaker of the House, Nancy Pelosi, I don't know her personally, but some of this stuff really is starting to feel intentional and incredibly insulting. But yeah, the pieces weren't put together because, well, the leadership within that area just didn't take it seriously, or they knew what was going to happen, or they knew that there was a high probability that it would devolve into just senseless violence and mayhem, especially if you have the right agitators there to kind of push things over the edge, then yeah. So that's that. Question number four, what was the role of social media companies? Yeah, that's a question that no one's going to dive into deeply. I mean, all the blame was put on Parler, as if the whole thing was coordinated on Parler, even though Twitter was a big part of the just the whole entire coordination, just like all of 2020. I mean, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I mean, they were used in 2020 to coordinate robbing jewelry stores in New York City, you know, staging fake protests or mock protests and then splitting off into teams like in Santa Monica, California, where they wanted to rob certain stores. So then they coordinated using Twitter and Facebook and Instagram to split up their teams, to divide up the police. Was Twitter or Instagram or Facebook, I mean, were they doxxed in some sort of way for these actions? No, they weren't. But then all the blame fell on Parler. And then, I mean, they were shut down almost immediately. I mean, it was instant. Now that they've come back in just a little bit, I mean, they're a shadow of their former selves. I mean, a lot of the functionality doesn't work. I tried to go back on the app and it's not the same experience. And that's the whole point. They've been away for so long that it's hard to bring that fan base back, that consumer base back. But they ended up being the scapegoat. I mean, all the blame fell on Parler, period. And it was all, you know, alt-right, you know, white extremists, yada, 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 you know, and that's it. You know, and a lot of the testimonies and things that we had to sit through or listen to, because it was on almost every channel, just showing members of Congress do their usual grandstanding, you know, going on and on. You had some that were saying how terrified they were, scared for their lives, even though they were nowhere near the action, you know, AOC. But hey, they did their thing. I mean, these are the best actors and actresses. I mean, they really should win awards. Like real awards. I mean, not like the Cuomo award that he got for, I don't know, I guess failing to do his job and killing a few thousand elderly. Allegedly. I have to throw that in there. But they just did their thing. They sold it. And they ran with it. And for a short period of time, actually, no, it was for weeks. It was insurrection this, insurrection that. Insurrection became just a useless word. I mean, to the point where it's in the category of, you know, racist, sexist, xenophobic, homophobic. There's just certain words that have just been misused and weaponized to the point where it just doesn't really hold any weight anymore. But for weeks, it was just all about insurrection, insurrection. What are we going to do about it? And you had people that they'll be so sensitive to things now. They'll talk about what happened as though it was like the most violent event that ever happened in this country's history. Meanwhile, we had, what, over 40 cities descend into absolute chaos that killed dozens of people across this country. All the, you know, justice for this black criminal, justice for this other person, justice for this other criminal. And people just totally snapped. Not everyone, but enough people to cause just billions of dollars in property damage. As I said before, the death of dozens of people. That wasn't the most dangerous, you know, time in our country. They didn't play that up. I mean, you literally had people on CNN, anchors on CNN, they had reporters talking about peaceful this, peaceful that, and you had cars on fire behind them, entire buildings on fire, you know, and might I add, there were people in some of those buildings that died, that were burned alive, you know, but that's, you know, it's nothing, nothing to see here, you know, it's unbelievable. Now, question number six. Who else enabled the violence? And this is an angle where they tiptoe around just, you know, hey, can Congress blame President Trump? You know, is there some sort of angle? And nowhere in here does it mention anything about the power that Congress has or who's actually in charge of the security and the police in and around the Capitol building. They don't really go into all that, which kind of lets you know exactly which way this individual leans, or this this publisher, which way they lean. So let's see. We're up to eight. We'll jump to eight. Was there a foreign role? So yes, another one of those, you know, Russia. I mean, Russiagate. Yeah, I think it's 4.0 at this point. I mean, they just, that's the go-to. If it isn't Russia, it's North Korea. If it isn't North Korea, it's China. And if it isn't China, then they just go back to Russia. And the whole time, we're not really presented with any evidence. And if you ask any questions, you're unpatriotic, or you're, I don't know, you're a conspiracy theorist, which is the go-to phrase now. You're a conspiracy. How dare you ask questions? You know, how dare you question known liars about the statements they're making, the statements they're making with no credible evidence? They don't have to really sell it to us. You know, they don't really have to, you know, present all the facts, lay all out to us like it's some sort of forensic investigation. All they have to do is just say, you know, we have a source that has led us to the fact that Russian hackers were involved in this and this and this. And then we raise our hand and say, well, what source? Oh, it's a hidden source, a very private source. We can't reveal it. It's top secret classified, you know, G14 classified. And we just have to accept it. The individuals that have lied to us before bring something to us, and we're conspiracy theorists if we question it. And they also don't have to provide us with any evidence, any access to any of their sources or any of their information. We just have to accept it. Yeah, that's a healthy relationship to be in. It's ridiculous. Just like in 2016, everything was Russia. Russia stole the election. And then within a few short years, then the angle got flipped. You know, 2020 was the most safe and secure election in U.S. history. You know, just give me a break. The whole thing, it stinks. It stinks. And the fact that you can't openly discuss a lot of this stuff makes it even more, I guess, a bit frustrating, a bit annoying. And like a lot of things, and, you know, I've said this before, it's incredibly insulting. The fact that, you know, most Americans, I mean, we're decent people, we're helpful, we're smart. So when you tell us something that makes absolutely no sense, and then when we ask you a question, you shoot us down and you don't provide us with any real evidence of any kind, while at the same time burning through our money and committing to things just all over the world. I mean, how can they be surprised at a lot of the negative energy? You know, how can Congress be surprised at, you know, they've been sitting on this approval rating, I think in the single digits for several years. I mean, they've been rocking between like 8 and 11% for a while, but I think they're at about 9%, which in any other profession that would, I mean, you'd be fired or forced to resign. But this insurrection, I mean, it's laughable. I mean, it really is. And the fact that this term, every time someone tries to put this term, take this term and they apply it to what happened on January the 6th, the first thing I usually do is chuckle. And then I ask just, you know, have you seen anything like in South American countries, you know, have you seen like any, you know, or read any stories about a military coup or anything like that, political coup? You know, maybe you need to look into that. You know, take a look at things that have happened in the Middle East, go back a couple decades. You know, maybe you'll have some understanding of what an insurrection is kind of like. But what happened on January the 6th was just nothing but just another, you know, if you want to call it some sort of a false flag, call it that. If you want to call it a PSYOP, call it that. You know, I just call it just absolute silliness. Absolute silliness. I mean, everything was primed and set. All the people showed up, and people were asking me if I was going to go, and I tried to discourage as many people as possible, And I just said, look, you're setting yourself up to be pulled into something that may stick with you for a very long time. You know, I stated that, you know, I could almost guarantee, because I don't like to speak in absolutes, but I told people I can almost guarantee it's going to devolve into violence and chaos. There might be a few arrests. Someone's probably going to get shot. And I even say, like, I hope I'm wrong, but I've seen too much of this. You know, even looking back at 2020, people had attended protests and things like that. And, you know, and they think, hey, I'll be safe. You know, I'm a level-headed individual, you know, but once you get into a group and that group turns into a mob and you have that collective, that hive mindset, it can be intoxicating. You can feel powerful. You can feel like, you know, you can fly, and you'll have people that'll do. And we've seen it. That'll do absurd things. Things that, you know, them as an individual on any other day of the week, they would never do. Smashing up some police car, throwing Molotov cocktails, and, you know, just totally going crazy. And these people have just normal jobs, you know, just the Monday through Friday jobs. They have normal lives. But you put them in that type of setting and they're primed and they're emotionally activated. And there you go. You throw a few agitators in there, people dressed in black, smashing in windows and doors. And then the Capitol Hill security or Capitol Hill police just standing back, not really doing anything. Then you have the perfect storm. And now Congress, special interests, anyone who wants to benefit from this, they can. They have tons of footage they can use as their justification to pull more funding to start, this insurrection commission. Now that it passed the House, I don't think it's gone before the Senate yet. I don't think it'll make it past the Senate. I hope it doesn't. But here we are yet again, another opportunity for some money laundering, or I'm sorry, some funds appropriations to be diverted to a legitimate commission. Kind of like the 9/11 commission, actually the same guy who headed the 9/11 commission, which was a bunch of more nonsense, was initially selected to be the head for this insurrection commission. And those who don't remember the 9/11 commission, it was a commission that was, you know, so focused that they determined that following the money and who funded the terrorists was not relevant. And that's in the book. If you get the 9/11 commission, if you look at the book, that statement is right there. The one of them said this and they acted accordingly. So, yeah, just think about that for a minute. But I think I've gone on a little longer than I've needed to. So I'm just going to leave it there. But please, please, please just keep your eyes open. Keep your ears open and keep your mind active. And do your own research, dig for information, understand that it's okay to say no. It's okay to ask questions when you have questions. And those are just some of my thoughts. So, as always, you can find me on, I've got the Snell Nation Facebook page up, Instagram up. You can also find me on LinkedIn. You can find this podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Overcast, Breaker Audio, I think like 6 or 7 others. So, you know, if you want to find me, you can find me. And feel free to leave me a message, a review, or any feedback if there's a particular topic you want me to focus on a future podcast, because I plan on doing this for a long time. Snell Nation out.